My question this morning is, what is prison? Blind Bartimaeus. What is prison? A place where you reap what you sow. That is a comment of one of the inmates. Where people who did not, to people who did what is not acceptable, and they do not accept the responsibility for their own action, realize where they are and try to change. That's another inmate. To perform personal action from the to reform from personal action of the past, but it is up to the person to make the change. That's from another inmate. A place where men and women to accept responsibility for change. That's from another inmate. And another one said, it is a place where I have come to realize that I am not responsible for myself. But there is one greater than me, because I can sense the change that is in my life. For who I was yesterday, I am not today. That is from another inmate. What is prison? Let us bow our heads as we pray. Loving Father, make me a nail on the wall where your portrait will be hung. And as we view it, dear Lord, we will hear your voice. Touch my lips as I speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. What is prison? I want to ask a guy that have been there, because I've not been to prison. But I'm a prisoner. I receive a little note somewhere here, and I think it is very true. When we cross the bars and go inside, all we see, a bunch of men in blues. I want to tell you that all of us are in blues. I am so much in blue, sometimes I wear double stripes. Because the only reason I am not behind bars and in blues is because the Lord have been good and I have not been caught. We are all in prison. One way or the other, we are in prison. Our thoughts, our actions towards one another, towards our even our own self, to our spouses, we are all prisoners. And the only one that could release you out of prison is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is prison? I want to ask a young fellow, a favorite son of a beloved father. I want to ask him. You will hear him talking to me. Let us ask Joseph. Joseph, how did you get in prison? Well, you know, my brothers knocked me out and pushed me down in a ditch, in a well, in a hole. Two of them was kind enough. They came back and they pulled me up, sold me to some traders. I ended up in Egypt. Then I was sold to a a big shot. Let us call him a big shot, a big man. A ruler in the military of Egypt. There I served him. But Joseph, how do you get in prison? What such a good guy like you have to do in prison? Well, I was falsely accused, sir. You know, Joseph, that's what every one of you says. Every time somebody talks to you guys in prison, all I keep hearing is that, hey, I did not do it. Come on, Joseph, tell me the truth. Well, sir, I was accused for sexual harassment. Really? And you got to know that Joseph wasn't fed like me. He was a handsome young man, very strapping guy. And the person that he told me that accused him for sexual harassment, he was a pretty woman. And so, the advances was made. You read the story in Genesis chapter 39. Come and lie with me. You really think that? Are you trying to tell me the truth, Joseph? Yes. She asked me to go and lie down with her. And you refused, Joseph? A young, strapping young man like you, man, come and tell me the truth, Joseph. Yes, sir. She did. And upon my refusal, she worked on me. And she waited one day. When I was in the house alone, she grabbed me. But I escaped. How did you escape, Joseph? I don't know, Mr. Wilson. I don't know. So let me just tell you, sir, that the Lord was with me and he helped me to escape. Okay, Joseph, I want to believe you're telling the truth if you could involve God in it. And so what happened? How did you get in prison? Well, sir, with such an accusation, and you do not have any witness, and she had my jacket, so you know definitely I was guilty in the eyes of men. And so I was thrown in prison. Wow, Joseph. Wow. So what did you do in prison, Joseph? Well, sir, the man that threw me in prison, the one that I was working for. But before I tell you what happened to me in prison, let me tell you what I told the lady that wanted me to go to bed with her. Oh, Joseph. She said to me, sir, I told her, sir, that my boss, which was her husband, gave me authority over everything in his house. Everything in his house. I had authority, sir. But he did not give me authority over you. And you are the only one he exempted from me. He did not even speak about you, except to ask me to guard you and make sure your meals are ready and the house is kept clean. That's it. She did not like it, sir. Okay, Joseph, what did you do in prison? Well, sir, the boss that sent me in prison, he recommended me to the warden. He told the warden every good thing and beyond about me, sir. And since I was such a good housekeeper, he see to it that I had a good office in the prison. And so I became the assistant warden of the prison. And mostly all the counsels and prayers and services that was to be done in the prison, I was the leader. Wow. What did you do besides that? There was two men that had a problem, sir. They came from Pharaoh's house and they had a dream, complex dream, very funny dream. And so, you know, it's a dream that caused my brothers to throw me down in the hole. Oh, man, then you're having trouble with dreams, Joseph. Well, I don't know, sir. But it's dreams that put me there. And those two guys had a dream, sir, and they didn't know what to do with it. And the Lord helped me to explain to them the dreams, and it came through. Wow. And so what else happened, Joseph? What else happened? Well, sir, God is good. I explained the dreams to them, and I told them, don't forget me, but it cost me a little bit again. I never heard from them. Well, I can relate to that, Joseph, because sometimes you try to do good to people, and your reward always turned down, you know, like you never did anything. So I understand that, Joseph. What else happened? Well, one day, the king himself, Pharaoh, had a dream, sir, and he didn't know what to do with the dream, and the butlers, oh, they finally remembered, and he asked him to send for me. Oh, okay, they sent for him. And what happened again, Pharaoh? I became the second man in command in Egypt. It was in prison. What is prison? Sometimes you could be in prison with your own household. There was a time in my country, it was plagued with bed bugs. You know, right now, bed bugs is coming back into existence, right? And there is a guy that is trying to make millions out of it because he's trying to destroy bed bugs electronically, and he's trying to put it over the, oh, it's all over. Big money, big time money. But in my days when bed bug was, you'd have to take hot water and boil it. Sometimes they boiled it with salt water at the time. All different kind of things people had to invent to destroy bed bugs. It could not be destroyed because it was in the dirt. So when you wash your beddings and you do everything and you hang it outside, you're making a joke because the bed bug is in the ground. But that little fellow was in his bed one night, and a lot of them, you know, you take a little rags and put it in the corner of the bed. That's where you sleep, at the foot of the bed. And here he's sleeping, and burdo, his feet is knocking the wall. Bed bugs are biting, and he cannot afford them. Bed bugs is biting. But his caretaker sleeps with a lamp. And so I am very happy for that. So I get up, and I went, and I pick up the lamp and go looking for bed bugs that is preventing me from sleeping. Those little rascals, when they are young, they bite you and they drink your blood, they are round. Even their legs come to swell, they cannot move. And as you touch them, they do poof, poof, blood stain all over. I wonder if bed bugs come back, if they will use it for DNA also. Because lots of blood in there, you know what I mean? And so, that night, while he's looking for those bed bugs, the only thing he felt behind the back of his ears, put my lamp away! And in the middle of the night, he gets one of the worst beatings he ever get, because his lamp is being used and his kerosene oil is being wasted. In the middle of the night. But he is the head deacon of the church. You see where I'm coming from, church? We are in prisons with our own self. He is the head deacon of the church. Tear me up in the middle of the night. My grandmother on the other side, weeping like a little child, as though she is the one that was taking the beating. What is prison? Let us ask another man that have been to prison. Let's talk to Peter. How you doing, Peter? I'm doing great, sir. I'm doing great. Who are you? Well, I'm one that have read about you. I've read your books, you know. Peter, there is some similarity with you and me. I get to like you because when I was a child, Peter, I was condemned or prevented to be friends to anybody that have been to prison. And so now, Peter, I am afraid for me to be your friend. Is there any benefit for me to be your friend, Peter? Give me some reasons, Peter, why I should be your friend and why I should love you. Tell me what you said again, young man. Well, I was not allowed to have friends that have been to prison because they are evil people. And let me tell you, every person that is in prison are criminals. And there is no excuse for your crime. That's why they are in prison. Now, Mr. Wilson is not trying to make excuses for no inmates. I am telling it to them in their face. For your crime, you must pay. It's because you're a criminal, that's why you are in prison. But Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ. So Peter, tell me what happened to you. What have happened? Well, one day, sir, I was mending my father's net. We were there preparing our nets for we to set sail for another catch. And a stranger just come walking on the side. And he says, "Hey, you. Hey, you." And he called us. It was me and my brother. And when we get to him, he asked us to follow him. And then so he make a very strange statement. And he says, "And I will make you fishers of men." I have never heard any such thing, sir. And so that aroused my curiosity. I know how to catch fish. Oh, Peter, let me say something else to you. I was not supposed to mess with fishermen by the seaside either. Because you know, Peter, how foul your mouths could be, right? You know how dirty your tongue could be, Peter? Oh, yes, sir, I knew that. But the man that called me have already cleansed that. Oh, so tell me more about it, Peter. Tell me more about it. And so he promised that I wouldn't be a fisher of men. And he collect, as he I was following up, he called another few guys. I said, "Is that the Sons of Thunders?" He says, "Yes." I said, "You are in bad company, Peter." He says, "Oh, yes. The Sons of Thunder, you know, we were radical, you know. Oh, man, tell me about it." I said, "Peter, I could relate to that. I know about it. I live very close to you guys, man. And that's why my folks did not want me to mess with you guys because of you all's tongue. You know that? You know? And plus, you've been to prison. You have 2 strikes against me, Peter." But however, tell me more. Tell me more. Oh, I followed this man all over the place. I saw the goods that he did. Oh, by the way, sir, he healed my mother-in-law. Oh, is that so? Tell me about him, Peter. Tell me about him. Yes, sir. The only fault that was with me with this man, I was the mouth speaker. Sometimes I would open my mouth before he even asked the question. You know, it put me in a lot of trouble, sir. Okay. And did he hold you against that? He says, "No, sir. No, he didn't hold me against. As a matter of fact, anytime I make a mistake, he was nice enough to, in a very psychological way, very nicely, he would correct me. And one day, sir, what amazes me more, he told me how the devil wanted to take me away, and then he have been praying for me." Can you imagine, sir, somebody praying for you and you didn't even ask them to do that? Oh, Peter, then you get into be very interested. Then I have to ignore those warnings, man. Tell me more. Yes, sir. I promised him that I would go with him wherever he went. And did you do that, Peter? Yes, sir. But when he was hanging on the cross, me and a few followers of us, except for one that stayed under the cross, but the rest of us, we went in a distance and just looking, sir. Were you one of them? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I was one of them. But before he got on the cross, Peter, tell me the truth now, what you did. He says, "Sir, when he was in the courtyard, when he was arrested, it was very cold and we all was in the courtyard while he was going through all the criminal questions and everything, that all the unhappy things. I came near the fire and somebody observed me and said, 'You are one of the followers.' And I said, no, I don't know the man. You did that, Peter? Yes, sir. And again, another guy came and he recognized me. And when he pointed his hand, I don't know the man. I said, Peter, you did that? Yes, sir. Wow. Went on. And he says, it happened to me 3 times, sir. And then I heard a sound. And I remembered. I remember the man said, before the rooster crow, you will deny me 3 times. What did you do, Peter? What did you do? Sir, I had to hustle out of the place. And I went and cried bitterly. Because I was sorry for my sins. And did he hold you responsible? I didn't know that, sir. But I know he turned on me. And when he turned around and he looked at me and we make the eye contact, I could not look at him. So I couldn't tell you everything about it. But I know he turned around and we make eye contact, sir. But I felt very dirty. Fast forward, Peter. There was a time, Peter, you know he died. They bury him and he raised from the grave, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, you think I'm looking old, sir, but I'll tell you what. I started running when I got the news from the ladies. And I run and I run. But you know the one of the guys they call the Son of Thunder? He was a little younger than me, sir. And guess what? He overtook me. But even though I reached there second, I was still there. And I saw evidences that this same man was risen from the dead. And so what happened, Peter? Peter, you're trying to hide something away from me. You know you went back doing the same fishing. You didn't understand the guy said that you have to be, you will be fishers of men. But you went back in your own business. Yes, sir, I went back there. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. So I went fishing. And then I said, Peter, I read about the story. You know, John didn't keep his mouth shut, you know. In the closing book, in his closing chapter of his book, he said that you all had breakfast on the beach, man. Very, very sweet gourmet. It was roast fish, Peter. Tell me about that roast fish. Oh, yes, sir. We had a delicious roast fish and bread. We didn't purchase it, but when we saw the man there, when we went on shore, he already had it there. And he had it there. And we took some from our cup. And we had a good breakfast. And then I said, Peter, he agitated you. Tell me what he did to you. Are you being angry even until now, Peter? Well, once in a while, sir, I get a little frustrated. Really, Peter? So tell me the story. What happened? The guy came back and asked you some questions. And what happened to you? He said, sir, he asked me, do I love him? And he picked among all the guys and he's asking me the question in the public. I was so embarrassed. But he asked me, do I love him? And I said yes to him. And he said to me, feed his sheep. I didn't understand what he meant, feed his sheep. But he asked me, before I could ask him what he meant, he asked me the same question over again. And then I said to him, sir, you know everything. Why are you asking me that? You know everything. He says, okay, Peter, feed my lamb. Feed his sheep, feed his lamb. So I couldn't understand. But before I wanted to ask him what he meant, he asked me the very same question. And I say, what happened again, Peter? I know you, Peter. Come and tell me. Oh, I get a little tight. I get a little tight. I wanted to really put it on him. But I still answer him with a strange voice. I said, sir, you know everything. And you know that I love you. What did he say to you, Peter? He looked at me in his love and his mercy. He repeated to me again, feed my sheep. So what do you do, Peter? I understood what he meant, sir. I understood what he meant. And so I became one of his leaders. And I have decided to feed his sheep, to feed his lamb, and to feed everybody else that is around. I said, how could I describe that to people when I will talk about you, Peter? Well, sir, to feed his sheep, the first time it was ordered, he was asking me to take care of his church. What do you mean by the lamb? He says, sir, when he told me about feeding the lamb, he was talking about the Gentiles, those that was not in there. When the church have bring people in, they are like lambs. It is only sheep that produce lamb. And so why he told you again the last time to feed his sheep? Sir, when they have come to the church and we have accepted them and we make them welcome, and like we try to do in the prison with those men, when we go to the prison and we give them the gospel, we try to nurture them, we try to help them to understand, and they become lamb until they decide to accept Christ and join the church. So the Lord gave Peter that commission. But Peter, you're not telling me everything about you. You're not telling me everything about you. You went to prison. That is why I am in trouble with you, Peter. I cannot understand. My mother told me not to keep company with you, Peter. You need to explain why you had to go to prison and why I should still be friend to you. Okay, sir, I'll tell you. I begin to preach the gospel. And by the way, did you hear about my sermon? Did you know about when the Holy Spirit came down? Do you know I baptized 3,000 souls in one day? Yes, Peter, you missed that. And I was hoping you told me about that. But that is not what I want to know. I want to know why you was in prison. And so Peter said, I was preaching in the synagogues, and the rulers of the Jews, the Herods, and all of them wanted to persecute God's people. And so, sir, they persecuted me, they arrested me, and they threw me in prison. Oh, I thought you wouldn't have told me, because I read the story, Peter. But I want you to explain one thing to me. There was a great light inside that prison. You remember that, Peter? Yes, sir. How you remember that? Because I was the only one that saw the light. Ooh. And so, you know what? There was a man clothed in white raiment. And he tapped me on my shoulders. I said, when you feel a person tapping you, was you scared? Yes, yes, because we were there to be executed, sir. And when he touched me, oh, I said, Lord, well, that's the moment. But when I opened my eyes, I saw that bright light and that man standing over me. And when I was, he gave me 3 or 4 orders, sir. He says, wake up. Put on your clothes. Put on your sandals. And the last one he said to me, I was too slow in hearing what he said. While he was saying, let us go, he grabbed me by my hand, sir. And you know what amazes me, sir? What amazes you, Peter? He opened the locks. And we walk out freely. But before he did that, sir, the shackles fall off. How many people, Serge, that have ever, the shackle fall off their feet when it is inserted? You don't know. That don't happen. Because you take your time to make sure it is locked and the keys are in your side, right, Serge? But the angels loose it out. The angels drop the shackles. And he grabbed, take Peter out. And so, Peter, you're telling me that an angel from the Lord came and deliver you out? Then, Peter, give me a hug. You and I become good friends, okay? Forget what my mom said. Forget what anybody say. I don't care how many prisons you have gone. I don't care how many dirty words you have spoken, but you are my friend. Welcome home, Peter. Thank you for being my friend. You're welcome, sir. What is prison? What is prison? Let us ask the Apostle Paul. Hi, Paul. Yes, sir. What may I do for you? Oh, Paul, I heard about you, man. To make it quick, I will tell you exactly what I heard about you, Paul. I heard you was a Hitler in your prime days, man. You have a PhD. You are well educated. And you are seeing to it that you did work for God. Am I going the right way there, Paul? Oh yes, I was persecuting God. I was persecuting those Christians, man. They was annoying, using God's name in vain, and they thought they was doing something good. And oh, I worked on them. So what happened, Paul? What happened? Well, so one day I was using my Cadillac. You know, those guys, Paul had to, I describe his horse as a Cadillac, or a Mercedes-Benz, or a BMW, top of the line. So here he is riding, going, and then something, what happened, Paul? Well, sir, a bright light from heaven just struck me down. And what happens? And what happened again? The funny thing about it, sir, I know that I am the only one that saw the light. And what else happened, Paul? I heard a voice. What else happened, Paul? I saw the light. I heard the voice. And when I tried to open my eyes again, I could not see. So what do you think happened at that time, Paul? I don't know, sir. But when the voice spoke to me, I called him Lord. I said, you are persecuting the man and you're calling on him to save you. And you are persecuting him, Paul. You have nerves. Well, sir, I realized that if I did not call upon him, the mission would not have been accomplished. And so I called upon him, sir. And he make arrangement to send me to the people that I used to persecute, sir. Until it throw me in jail. But sir, since time is running out, we have hungry saints in the church. So please tell them the story very quickly so we could leave. And so Paul, instead of persecuting for God, became the number one soul winner. As a matter of fact, when we read in the book of Revelation, on the seven churches, the Apostle Paul is the originator of those churches. He is the support, the background. He was in prison. How did it happen with you in prison, sir? What took place in prison? That a lot of wonderful things happened in prison, sir. When it was not time for me to go in, the Lord gave me different plans to keep me out of there. When it was time for me to go in, he gave me words of wisdom. And do you know, the Lord placed me in the prison, sir, because that's where I was able to speak to all the churches. That is why you have all those books there. And like when I counted it last night, I counted 15 books that was written by Paul. I stand corrected. You see? Because in the book of Hebrews, they are doubting who wrote it. There's a lot of scholars out there doubting who wrote it, who don't wrote it. But I count 15, including Hebrews. See? And so the Lord showed me so many things, sir. He used me as an instrument. So Peter can go. I am doing prison ministry. Paul, I'm doing prison ministry in the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church. Tell me something, Paul. Those people that you are talking to, those churches, do they understand that you are doing prison ministry, Paul? That you are in prisons too, Paul? Yes. Oh, let me tell you, sir. I was in prison. And when everything was let loose on me, all the prison doors was open. The prison guards wanted to kill themselves because they thought I was gone. But I remained there with Silas, my friend, and we were singing glory to God in the highest. And right there in prison, sir, we baptized the man, his family. Right in the prison, sir. I said, oh, so what are you trying to do? You're trying to bribe me for me to continue to go in the prison among all those criminals? And you want me to bring those criminals back in our church among our people that are already saved? You want me to bring them among the people that are saved in this church and they are criminals? Sir, when God have laid hands on a man, when God have laid hands on a man, he is not the same man he was before. And so it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Okay, Peter. Okay, Paul. I heard you. And I believe you. Before my wife come up, there is one man that read. He came to me yesterday and asked me to sign a letter. He went to classification and he went to the boss where he's working in the prison. I will not read all of it. And just in the bottom it says, however, if you can find in your heart to afford me another chance upon my release, I will give you my word that this will not happen again, thanking you in advance for the time, that I spent working with you. It is an inmate that did something wrong. He was working in the city of Tampa. He asked me to, he gave me the right, the authority to share. When he had heard the voice of God, and when he understood the gospel, came to me a few times and spent some time in the office with him. Speak about forgiveness. And he said, sir, I have been fighting with the thoughts for me to write to my former boss the exact thing that drove me into prison. So you, what you think about it, I spoke with him. And this is a copy of the letter that he have written to his boss, asking one day when he will be released, if he will have mercy and give him a second chance. Forgiveness. And he's hoping and praying that he will receive forgiveness.